Well, we have a very diverse panel, from beef to cotton to milk and so on. The groups represented on this panel are here to encourage and urge Congress, the 111th Congress, to do something about the estate tax. And this would be something that we're encouraging them to do positive for the U.S. family farmers and ranchers. The estate tax or death tax is set to return to the pre-2001 levels, which would be a 55% tax rate on all property valued at $1 million or more. Families and farmers and ranchers need relief, and by far they need certainty in our tax code. If nothing is done, the death tax will hit many family-owned operations, and we cannot let that happen. The groups represented here today disagree from time to time on what is best for agriculture. But at the end of the day, we all have an unwavering commitment to preserve this industry for the next generation. While we aren't going to dive specific into the policy today, not too heavy, it's important to note that everyone on this panel does support legislation introduced in the Senate by Senators Blanche Lincoln from Arkansas and Senator John Kyle from Arizona. The legislation is to increase the exemption levels and to decrease the percentage of the tax rate on family-owned operations. For those of you on the phone, again, feel free to watch this press conference live on www.beltwaybeef.com. And we're going to go ahead and get started from our panelists. Our first panelist is here today representing the American Farm Bureau Federation. Bob Stallman is the president, and he is also a rice and cattle producer from Columbus, Texas. So, Mr. Stallman.
Thank you, Christina. Good afternoon. Although 2010 is an estate tax-free year, under the law passed in 2001, this tax will return as of January 1st of 2011 with a top rate of 55% and a $1 million exemption. With such a low exemption, as many as 13% of farms and ranches whose owners pass away could owe estate taxes next year, and this is according to USDA. Estate taxes hit farm families harder than other small business owners because 84% of our assets are real estate based. When Uncle Sam comes to pay his respects, surviving family members without enough cash on hand may be forced to sell land, buildings, or equipment that they need to keep their operations going. In these circumstances, farm families' heartache is felt well beyond the gates of our operations because the rural communities and the businesses we support also suffer when farms and ranches downsize or disappear. And farmland close to urban centers is often lost forever to development when estate taxes force farm families to sell off land to pay their taxes. In essence, estate tax relief is not only about a cattle operation in Texas, it's also about the family in New York City sitting down to a steak dinner. A higher exemption and lower rates will give farmers and ranchers a better chance to remain in operation when transferring from one generation to the next. This is why Farm Bureau is calling on Congress now to provide a permanent estate tax provision that would increase the exemption level to $5 million, adjusted for inflation, and reduce the maximum tax rate to 35%. Those provisions are in the Lincoln Kyle proposal. Estate tax reform must also include stepped-up bases, which limits the amount of property value appreciation that is subject to capital gains taxes if the assets are sold. Because farmland typically is held by one owner for several decades, setting the basis on the value of the farm on the date of the owner's death under stepped-up basis is as an important tax provision for surviving family partners as the others. While supporting the $5 million exemption and 35% tax rate, as farmers and ranchers, we continue to stand by our goal of eliminating death taxes, which amount to little more than double taxation, since the income is taxed first when it's earned and again when it is transferred to heirs. It's time to put the death taxes to rest. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stallman. And our next speaker is Joe Steiner. And Mr. Steiner is here today representing the American Soybean Association. He is a farmer from Ohio and also the treasurer for the American Soybean Association.
Thank you. Good day. I wanted to talk a little today about a friend of mine. He's actually the vice president of the Ohio Soybean Association, and his father passed away about a year and a half ago. In his operation, the estate was worth $2 million. Under the schedule at that time, he was fully exempted. Now, just because there isn't federal estate tax, there is still a state tax to take care of. So they didn't go untaxed, but they did have enough cash available to pay the taxes to the state and move along with their operation. And he said, you know, if his father had lived past January of 2011, the $1 million exemption and the 55% tax wouldn't have been devastating for his farm, but it would have been a burden to have to finance another $550,000 for his operation. And agriculture is capital intensive, and it's very, it just takes a lot of capital, and you gather that up, and to have to give half of that, 55% of that back to the government upon death, it just doesn't seem fair. On my flight in this morning, I sat next to a lady who was on her way to New Hampshire. A family member had been a young man with several young children, was killed on an ice skid in an automobile. And I got to thinking, you know, my friend back in Ohio, his father was elderly and had a chance to plan. And, you know, those of us who are fortunate enough to reach an older age and can plan and be ready for things like estate taxes if we know what they're going to be is one thing, but it is extremely devastating to these farm families. If something were to happen, we're in a high-risk industry as well. If something were to happen unforeseen, and that would be the death knell of those operations. So, again, our organization is supportive of getting something done before the end of the year, and we certainly think this amendment is a step in the right direction. Thank you.
And thank you, Mr. Steiner. What I'd also just like to make a quick announcement for those of you on the phone line right now, if you'd like to watch the webcast live, please go to www.beltwaybeef.com. Our next speaker, Dana Peterson, is representing the National Association of Wheat Growers. She's their chief executive officer, and she grew up on a wheat farm near Smith Center, Kansas, and her family still farms there today.
Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us here in Washington, D.C. today. We are here to urge Congress to pass permanent estate tax reform. This is essential for our family farmers across the country. The National Association of Wheat Growers has worked since 1950 to ensure the future of the nation's wheat crop. Our member growers work very hard to secure a future for them, their daughters and sons, and multi-generations into the future. All of this will be in jeopardy if Congress does not pass meaningful reform at this time. We want to ensure that the next generation of farmers will be able to continue operating and investing in their family-owned businesses. For many wheat farms, business assets account for a large share of the farmer's estate. Much of that is normally held in land. For those of you who know a farmer and know a multi-generational farmer, you know that that land has a large emotional investment as well as the financial investment to the family. When that land has to be sold off, it is like cutting the roots off of that family farm. If this estate tax is not addressed by Congress, the future estate tax liabilities will not only drain our wheat farms of the funds that might otherwise be reinvested into future generations, but also could force families to sell off their assets, land included, that land that is used to grow the nation's wheat crop. In many cases, the younger generation of that farmer's family will take over that estate. They will continue to operate the farm. That's what's happened in my family farm for seven generations, and that is essential to the livelihood of not only the family farms across America, but also the rural communities that surround and support them. With the current state of our economy, together with the uncertain nature of estate tax liabilities, it is difficult for family-owned wheat farms to make sound business decisions for the next generation of their families. Again, we urge together as agriculture organizations, Congress, to pass this reform.
Thank you. And our next speaker is Mr. Scott Bennett, and he's here representing the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. And Scott is a junior at Virginia Tech University and an active participant in his family's cattle operation, Knoll Crest Farms in Red House, Virginia. Scott?
Good afternoon, everyone. It is truly a privilege to be among these great panelists today, regardless of their old age. What you see here, though, is a true representation of agriculture today. According to the 2007 Census of Agriculture, the average age of farm owners is 57 years old, and farmers over the age of 55 own more than half of the farmland in the United States. Folks here in Washington like to talk about repopulating rural America and bringing the next generation back to production agriculture, but let me tell you, in rural America, producers are fed up because actions do not reflect words or promises here inside the Beltway. One would like to think that common sense would prevail and this death tax would be reformed in such a way that it allows young people, the next generation, to take over family farms and ranches that provide a safe, abundant, and affordable food supply here and across our borders. But here we are, only a month away from a death sentence to family farmers and ranchers without any clue of what type of resolve, if any, will move through Congress. Knoll Crest Farm was started by my great-grandfather, passed on my grandfather, now 76 years young, and is now primarily operated by my father and his two brothers. Knoll Crest Farm's success has relied on risk-taking, passion, innovation, and the blood, sweat, and tears of my family. My grandfather has attempted to plan around the uncertainty of the death tax, but this task is nearly impossible. With a $1 million exemption and a 55% tax, we would need to sell most of our assets just to keep part of our operation in the family. This is a death sentence to family farms, ranches, and small businesses. Colleagues in the industry like to joke about how 2010 is the year to die, but to me it's not really that funny. I want to graduate college, return to my farm, work with my family, and live a successful and fulfilling life providing food for this world. Relief is needed, and it is needed badly. I sure wish Congress would wake up and do something to protect family-owned farms and ranches from going to the wayside and jeopardizing the futures of those who dream to provide food for a growing global population. Protect capitalism and the one industry that remained resilient through these trying economic times. We're not asking for government handouts. All we are asking for is common sense reform to an outdated tax. Me and 960,000 other Americans who claim farming and ranching as their principal income is who you are hurting. Not the big box retailer, not the automotive giant, but the Americans that keep their nose to the grindstone to feed this world. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. Our next speaker is Mr. Chip Bowling. Mr. Chip Bowling is here today to represent the National Corn Growers Association. He's a corn grower in Maryland and serves as the president of the Maryland Grain Producers and is a member of the National Corn Growers Association's Public Policy Action Team. Mr. Bowling.
Thank you. I'm not quite that old, Scott. Good afternoon. My name is Chip Bowling, and I'm a third-generation farmer. My family owns a farm 40 miles south of Washington, D.C., in Newburgh, Maryland. My grandfather purchased that farm in the late 1940s, and I'm sure that as he and my dad proudly looked over the Wicomico River each day as they worked, they could have never imagined that I'd be here today to discuss estate tax reform. I currently serve as the Maryland Grain Producers Association president and a member of the National Corn Growers Public Policy Action Team. The National Corn Growers Association represents 35,000 dues-paying members across the country. With the 111th Congress drawing to a close, the clock is ticking to complete work on advancing estate tax reform, along with other critical tax legislation now under consideration. Earlier this month, NCGA joined a coalition of 30 national agriculture organizations to urge Congress to act before the estate taxes are reinstated at the beginning of 2011. If this happens, farmers will only see a $1 million exemption and a top rate of 55%. The groups, many of which are represented at this press conference today, are pressing for a permanent increase in the exception to no less than $5 million per person and reducing the maximum tax rate to no more than 35%. In addition, the coalition supports that exemption to be indexed to inflation, provide for spousal transfers, and include the stepped-up basis. Without action from Congress, family-owned farms and businesses will continue to prospect even more uncertainty in their planning and risk of being forced to sell assets in order to pay high estate taxes. Today, President Obama meets with congressional leaders at the White House to discuss a path for tax legislation. We hope they realize the importance of extending the estate tax for future American farm families and small business owners. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bowling. And now we'll proceed to the other table on our panel. And for those of you joining the call online, you can watch the press conference via webcast at www.beltwaybeef.com. So moving over to the other side of the table, representing the National Cotton Council, is Mr. Taylor Slade. Mr. Taylor Slade is a cotton and peanut farmer from Williamston, North Carolina, and his family's operation has been in business since 1722. Taylor.
Thank you, Scott. I remember when I was a young man. I'm not that old yet because I still owe too much money to be old. So I'm going to have to keep going. In 1670, it was a very, very scary moment, the day that my forebearer stepped off the boat in eastern North Carolina from England with his young wife, Hannah. They had approached a new world and were willing and happy to take chances. In 1722, their grandson, William Slade, also went off on an adventure when he came further inland, about 60 miles in North Carolina, and accepted a royal grant, which today I own the residue of. A lineage from 1722, if I live to be a farmer in 2022, we're going to have one hell of a party because I don't think many, many businesses have ever had the opportunity to celebrate 300 years. Henry came and William came, and my name is Taylor Slade, and I've come to Washington today as a cotton and peanut grower from Williamson, North Carolina. I'm the past president of the North Carolina Cotton Producers and currently serve as a producer delegate to the National Cotton Council. I appreciate the opportunity to participate in today's event. This subject is critically important to many families in the cotton industry and to my family, which has owned and operated our farm since 1722. The U.S. cotton industry includes farming operations as well as family-owned gins, warehouses, processing, merchandising firms. These family-owned firms make important economic contributions in rural communities. My gin personally will buy in excess of $30 million worth of cotton, buy and resell. This forms a key part of the tax base in these communities, and they provide essential services. The cotton industry creates jobs because it requires infrastructure. That infrastructure requires substantial long-term investment, which can only be sustained when there is stable and predictable farm trade and tax policy. We're here today to respectfully urge the administration and Congress to work together to provide the certainty my family needs to plan for an orderly transfer and continued operation of a family enterprise that has existed on the same land for so very long. In the current economic environment where every job created and every investment decision is critical, it is indefensible that no one can tell my family what rules will apply to the estate transfer in the future. If the estate tax is reinstated, with a top rate of 55% and a $1 million exemption, it will have a devastating effect on a number of farming operations. These operations are not large by any standard. For example, in areas where productive farmland, such as mine, and the land is valued at $3,000 per acre, a farm of less than 350 acres would be impacted. Given the investment in equipment and technology and facilities, today a 350-acre farm would not be competitive, and it would not be there after the tax man has visited. It's time to restore certainty to the tax code so farming operations like mine, which have been built to be competitive, can continue to be operated by future generations. I look forward one day to my son, who is currently a naval pilot and stationed in Pensacola, Florida, to return to the farm. But I cannot, in good faith, at this point in time, suggest to him that he rush home. Perhaps he needs to stay with the more secure business of being a naval test pilot. Otherwise, we will have to liquidate our principal asset to pay the estate tax, which he would come to. I often said, you know, that I've never known a hearse to be followed by a Brinks truck. And I'm not going to take it with me, and I sure hope that I'm not going to give it to the government. I believe the same applies to many of our families owned and operating gins, warehouses, processing, and merchandising firms. Without certainty, they will not be passed on to operate by the next generation of entrepreneurs. We urge Congress to promptly enact legislation this year before the expiration of the current law to permanently eliminate the estate tax. But if that's not possible, Congress should promptly enact legislation that provides an inflation-indexed exemption sufficient to exempt commercial-sized farms. The exemption should be transferable to a spouse, and the stepped-up basis index for inflation must be preserved. Thank you for your attention this afternoon and for giving me this opportunity to address my concerns. Thank you.
Thank you. And our next speaker is representing the National Farmers Union. Roger Johnson is the president of the National Farmers Union. He is a third-generation farmer from Turtle Lake, North Dakota, and the former North Dakota Agriculture Commissioner. Mr. Johnson.
Thank you. We all come from lots of different perspectives. I thought it might be helpful to give just a little bit of history about the estate tax, and then end up talking about why we all think that reform is badly needed. The estate tax has been around, frankly, for millennia. 7th century B.C., it was first adopted by the Egyptians. It later became a Roman idea when it was adopted in A.D. 6. These sorts of taxes have been in Europe ever since the Middle Ages. The father of modern economics, Adam Smith, was one who believed that estate taxes deserved to be considered. In The Wealth of Nations, he said, the most absurd of all suppositions that every successive generation of men have not an equal right to the earth. The guiding principle behind the early years of capitalism was that social privileges should be earned, not inherited. Nonetheless, everyone, even in these year in over the years of history, have provided that there ought to be some sort of reasonable exemptions in place. And I think it is that principle that brings us all to the same place here today. While our policies may differ, I think it is quite clear that we all believe that the certainty of estate tax reform is something that is very badly needed by all of us in agriculture. It's hard to make long-term plans when you have no idea what the long-term policies are going to be. It doesn't just apply to estate taxes, but certainly in this case, it does apply to estate taxes. And so we're all here calling on Congress, to pass estate tax reform. We all, I think, also are committed to the idea that we need to deal with this deficit, and so it needs to be a balance between what's reasonable and how do we pay for all of the expenses of government. And I think we would all agree that to deal with the estate tax issue and not deal with the stepped-up basis issue might actually even create a larger problem. And so they need to be dealt with together. And I think that's why we all are saying, let's raise the exemption period, let's do something to lower the tax rate, and let's bring some certainty back to this industry. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Our next speaker is Billy French, representing the National Milk Producers Federation. Mr. French is a dairy farmer from Morrytown, Virginia. He operates French Brothers Dairy, 125 dairy cow, and a 200-head cow-calf operation. Mr. French.
Thank you for that induction, Christina. My family and I have a diverse farming operation near Woodstock, Virginia. My father was one of eight children, and I'm one of nine. Between the two generations, we have multiple business ventures. Some of those ventures involve ownership of farm interest, and some don't. The home farm has been in my family since 1872. Our dairy is on that acreage. The family partnership I'm involved with farms 1,800 acres of land in about 40 separate tracts owned mostly by various combinations of family members. Having kept land in the same family since 1872, you can imagine that that estate planning is something that I believe in. My parents and I started estate planning for their generation around 1995, working with a local law firm that specializes in estate planning. Trusts were set up for my mother and my father, along with a plan to transfer assets based on the individual exemptions in place at that time. When my father died in 2003, his estate was under the exemption amount, so I can tell you from experience that estate planning is important and does work. Since my father passed away, Mom has continued to follow the original plan. Due to the uncertainty in the law, we have to review and possibly update the plan annually. Even though families like mine have benefited from the increase in exemption over the past several years, estate planning is not cheap. And without a long-term outlook for families like mine, we must revisit our plan repeatedly. Being able to plan for the transfer of assets to the next generation is essential to the success of businesses like ours. We are willing to do what is necessary to prepare, but you can't know what the position will be of other family members or the tax burden. It is impossible to plan for the tax debt when laws change, as this has been the case with the state taxes. Farming operations often lack cash liquidity. When a member of the next generation chooses not to participate in the farm, then those who continue to stay in the business are burdened. The remaining owner-operators must buy out those who have chosen to exit. Families like ours in this situation often have to sell land to pay estate taxes or buy out heirs. This is just another example where not being able to plan well in advance creates uncertainty and insecurities. My wife and I have four children. We realize we need to start planning for the transfer to the next generation, but the uncertainty is holding us back. I respectfully request Congress to move quickly and thoroughly on the death tax reform.
Thank you, Mr. French. Our next speaker is here representing the National Pork Producers Council. Chris Wall is the Vice President for Domestic Public Policy for the National Pork Producers. Chris.
Thank you, Christina. And I'd like to start off with saying thank you to the farmers and ranchers that have come to Washington, D.C. to talk about such an important issue. And I'd actually like to follow up on a couple of points that Dana and Scott had brought up earlier. And that's the fact, if the death tax is not repealed or fixed in the next 14 days, farmers are going to go out of business. And the reason for that we haven't touched on yet, is when the IRS looks at these farms, they don't assess the value of, especially with the land, on keeping it a farm, they assess it on what it could be. So either a development or a golf course. Example from the pork industry, we have a board member that lives in southeastern North Carolina. His family's, the land's been in his family for many years, not quite as long as it's been in Taylor's family, but he built it from the ground. His grandfather built it from the ground up. He inherited it. It's a small to medium-sized farm. It's right outside of Pinehurst, North Carolina, if you're familiar with that area. The developers would love to have that land and turn it into a golf course or resort. So if he were to pass away January 1, 2011, his family would have to sell the farm because they would not be able to pay the tax bill. Again, because the land is taxed on what it could be, not what it is. If Congress and the administration is serious about repopulating rural America and bringing jobs and growth to rural America, the easiest thing they can do is to get rid of the estate tax. According to the Heritage Foundation, its state tax raises accounts for about 1% of the federal revenue, but costs the economy about 1.5 million jobs a year. With that, I would say, we need to repeal the estate tax and stop taxing our farmers to death. So, thank you.
Thank you, Chris. And our final speaker for this morning is Dustin Van Loo. And Dustin is the Executive Director of the Public Lands Council based here in Washington, D.C. He's also the seventh generation of his family to work in livestock and production agriculture. Dustin.
Thank you, Christina. And on behalf of the Public Lands Council, thank you all for being here today. The sad truth, however, is if Congress had done its job, this press conference would not be necessary. The return of the death tax is not a new issue to any of us here today. And like you heard from Scott Bennett a few moments ago, it's not a new issue for our nation's ranchers, both young and old. According to USDA, the death tax is one of the leading causes of the breakup of multi-generational family farms and ranches, and it promotes fragmentation, leading to the degradation of our nation's natural resources, including wildlife habitat. Family farmers and ranchers not only produce the nutritious food and fiber to feed the world's growing population, they also serve as stewards of the land, air, and water that make our way of life possible. Passing permanent estate tax reform is an issue that the 111th Congress must act upon before leaving this month. In fact, since early in this Congress and in the Congresses of recent history, legislation has been introduced to provide meaningful permanent death tax reform. But here we are. If Congress does nothing, in less than a month, farmers and ranchers, landowners and small business owners across America will be dealt a blow that many won't survive. Simply put, returning to the pre-2001 levels of $1 million exemption and a top rate of 55% is unacceptable. Short of fully repealing the death tax, there is no silver bullet fix. Legislation has been introduced in the House and Senate to increase the exemption levels and decrease the tax rates. Those bills need to be brought to the table. Legislation has also been introduced to exempt agriculture land or production agriculture land. That should be included. Proposals also introduced for exemption to inflation and also to be tied to include a stepped-up basis are out there, and they should be talked about at the same time as these other pieces of legislation. Some will claim the death tax is a tax on the wealthy. Well, those people have not been to a PLC member's ranch. PLC members and farmers and ranchers across the country are asset-rich and cash-poor. Their assets consist of land, buildings, and specialized equipment. They may look wealthy on paper, however, if they are faced with a 55% rate, they'll be forced to sell their land, equipment, or even their entire ranch just to pay the tax. This is money that could otherwise be reinvested to grow the family business and handed to future generations, not sent to the federal government. As it stands today under 2009 levels, USDA's Economic Research Service said 1 in 10 farm estates will likely owe estate taxes. Can you imagine what the number would be if Congress fails to act? To wrap this up, the issue should not be a political one. From California to the Dakotas and across the West, preserving the legacy of American agriculture should be a common goal. But taxing family farms and ranches out of business will have serious impacts on local economies, on rural communities, and reality on all Americans. Thank you.